Gracious Father, we thank you. We yield our hearts to you this morning. We ask that you will prosper through your word in our hearts. Let no one who is a member of the ark live here the same way they came. Let every question be answered. Let every troubled heart receive peace. And let every sick person be healed. Everyone who is about to give up on life, I ask, O God, the spirit of encouragement will enter into them in the name of Jesus. Let Jesus be seen today in the mighty name of Jesus. Let your word prosper in our hearts. Speak to us as if you are present here to speak to us. Thank you, Father. We vow to return all the glory to you. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Amen. We started something this morning that is faith, a pathway to open doors. Faith, a pathway to open doors. And we started this morning by describing the fact that God actually wants to give us an open door. In fact, not he wants, he has opened doors already for us. We discovered that in God trying to give you an open door, that thing is his will and nothing can stop the door from being opened. But what Satan tries to do is to do two things. One, to give us other options. He creates other opportunities so that your eyes is blinded to the actual open door he wants to give. And secondly, if he can't distract you with that, he now wants to bring a haze, to bring fear. He expounds the problem in the open door so that you are afraid, you can't go in. I told us the best way to enjoy God's open door is by waiting. Tell anybody, I will wait. Glory be to God. I will discuss two types of open doors, that is satanic open doors and divine open doors, because Satan also gives open doors. He gives. If you don't know this, then you don't know Satan. You don't know the devil. He gives open doors. You are in the choir. You are singing very well. It looks like he has checked you out and he notices that your voice will bring redemption to the world. He simply sells those things quickly. They approach you and tell you, remove Jesus. Just sing anything. Remove Jesus and we'll sponsor you. That is an open door. Because your voice, listen, Michael Jackson's voice in eternity was supposed to bring souls to Jesus. Bible says the gift of God are without repentance. For that voice to walk the way you did in those days, you should know that that voice is anointed. When Michael Jackson sings, listen, people practically faint. Why? His voice is anointed. He was anointed before he was born. Satan quickly knew that if we leave this guy, he will cause a lot of problems. So what did he do? He quickly gave him something, an option. May you not accept Satan's option in the name of Jesus. You may think we're just discussing open doors, but what we want to discuss further is faith, because if you understand faith, you will know that it's a pathway to open doors. So we go right into it, faith. I will start by explaining to us what faith is not. Please, when you come to church, make sure you have a writing material. It's of no use being in church if the world will not change you. It's of no use. Please don't be in church and say, I've been here for 10 years and there is no change in my life. Two people can get born again the same day. After a while, there will be a difference between the two. Why? One person was like Mary. She sat at the feet of Jesus to be discipled. Another one was like Martha, who was busy, a lot of activities, but there was no proof in her life. Jesus told her, Martha, Martha, you are encumbered with so many things, but one thing is needful. I want to beg you, church, anytime it's time for Sunday school, time for the word, settle down to listen. On the day of your battles, there will be no pastor available. By the way, I've done this for a while, and I know usually young people will not listen. I told people, you better know God when there is no contention, when there are no battles. Know him early as a young person. Bible says, seek the Lord now while you can still be found. While you are young, when he can still be found? Because there is a time they call the evil day. And whether you like it or not, there will always be evil days for everyone in life. I hope what I'm saying is not strange. Evil days will abound. Sufficient to each day is his troubles thereof. Young people don't like to hear this, but I am telling you the reality of life. I am not that pastor who will excite you. Because on the day of battle, excitement will not deliver you. I don't want you to call me by 2 a.m. Pastor, my child is sick. No, I want to hear testimonies like when it started happening by 2, I woke up, I roared at the devil and he ran. Not I was trying to call pastor. I called, pastor, you did not pick my call. If only you picked my call. No. In this place, we are raising soldiers. Men who will stand at the territory and tell the devil, get out, and he will listen. You don't do it by excitement. You do it by knowledge. Tell anybody how we know. They that know their God. They that know their God shall be strong. There is something called strength that comes from knowledge. I beg you, when you come to church, it's serious business. I'm not here to joke. There are many things I could do with my time. I'm very busy. So if you decide to come here to do this, please take advantage of it. The Lord bless you in the name of Jesus. What faith is not? What faith is not? One, faith is not a religious bold talk. Faith is not a religious bold talk. Many people have learned it is well. Those days when I was growing in the world of faith movement, I learned the word, the cliche, I will not be sick. So one of those days, usually every August, my own malaria comes August. So one of those days, I was even in the camp of that place where we say it is not, I cannot be sick. I was there, the sickness was coming. I was shouting, I will not be sick. I will not be sick. I will not be sick. Mama, I will not be sick. I will not be sick. I landed in the hospital. I will not be sick. Satan does not fear those things. Faith is not religious bold talk. Two, faith is not a positive confession. I'm shattering many things you learned, but please follow me. We'll get there. We'll arrive safely. Faith is not a positive confession. You enter a lift. Please, is this lift going down? No! In the name of Jesus, I will not go down. I will not go down. We are just asking you for a lift. Lift, sir. You will not go down, but the lift is going down. Okay? The lift is going down. So you will not go down. That is not faith. Faith is not a positive confession. Faith is not just naming and claiming. Faith is not just naming and claiming things. I saw one beautiful car outside. That black one. I'll just go there and say, I claim this car in the name of Jesus. That's not faith. Faith is not naming and claiming. Let me not waste time. I'm on the clock. Meanwhile, you need to adjust this time. This is not my time. Faith is not naming and claiming. Fourth one, faith is not using your will to force God to do what you want. Listen very carefully. Faith is not using your will to force God to do what you want. My son just looks at my car and says, ah, daddy, I want this car. He's just 8. Daddy, I want this car. Daddy, I want this car. He's not mature to drive a car and shouting, I want this car. Many of you, that's what you are doing. I want that car. I want that car. You've not matured yet. You want to force God. You believe that when you shout and shout and shout, maybe, or at times, some of you believe in crying. When you cry and cry and cry, maybe God will just say, okay, give him the car. That's not faith. So quickly, what is faith? Because we need faith as a pathway to this open door. So what is faith? I want to take my bearing beyond Hebrews 11 verse 1 to 6. Okay, let's go to Hebrews 11. Let me start from there. Hebrews 11 verse 1. Let's go there. Please, media, help me. Please put it on the screen. Help me. Hebrews 11 verse 1. Can I get help? Hebrews 11 verse 1. Can we read together? I want to go. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things what's not seen. Listen, faith is the substance. Somebody say, faith is a substance. Shout it, say, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things yet unseen, but yet it is real. So someone else is wondering, what is giving this guy hope? There are things I can tell you about my destiny. I am not guessing it. Why? It is called faith. And I will take you through the process so that you understand that we are not doing a guesswork. Listen, if God has said, I will give you an open door, it is not a guesswork. Listen, when I teach practicable things you can take to work on Monday. I'm not teaching you theory. I hate theory. Theories don't work well for me. I like practicals. Things I can touch. Many people don't believe in faith because they have been taught wrongly and they are getting frustrated. Please give me verse 6 of Hebrews 11. Verse 6 of Hebrews 11. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. That means when I'm approaching God, I better come with faith. Because if I don't have that substance, it is impossible. You understand this statement very soon. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. That means you must believe in God first. The integrity of this God first. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He's not a rewarder of those who play church. We are still starting. You can be in church for 27 years and God will be watching you. Nothing will shift in your life until you decide to take actions, relevant actions. So your coming to church, actually, if you want it to, does not impress God. Meanwhile, you should be in church, by the way. But I'm saying, if it's only hinged on coming to church without doing what the Lord of the church requires, you are wasting the time, your time. And God can waste your time for you. He's called the Ancient of Days. He can be watching you, wasting your time, until you get serious with him. Let me quickly move. What is faith? John chapter 5 verse 19. We need to look at that scripture. John 5 verse 19. Before I push into what is faith. John 5 verse 19. Can we do it together? I want to go. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you. Listen, every time you hear Jesus use the word verily, verily, it's for emphasis. Jesus is not a waster of words. He doesn't just speak because he wants to speak. When he speaks, there is a reason for speaking. And so when he places an emphasis on something, you need to pay attention to it. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. It means that Jesus, as anointed as he was, cannot go into the streets to raise the dead and heal the lepers if he did not first see the Father do it. Follow me. We are getting into it gradually. If Jesus does not see the Father feed 5,000, he will not attempt it. That is the reason why some of us enjoy unending victory. We don't just speak because we want to speak. We must first discern what the Father is doing. So quickly, what is faith? We don't have all the time. Faith is a potent force that is derived from the voice of God to establish his will on earth. Faith is a potent force. That is derived from the voice of God. Underline the word, potent force. Underline the word, the voice of God. that establishes his will on earth. Not your will, sir. It's a potent force derived from the voice of God to establish his will on earth. Number two, faith is the conviction you have about God, the integrity of his person, and the corresponding actions of obedience that you take to commit God as touching his promise. Number two definition. Faith is the conviction you have about God, the integrity of his person, and the corresponding actions of obedience that you take to commit God as touching his promise. Number three definition. Faith is a living force drawn from the living word, in bracket, God's voice, to produce living proofs. Faith is a living force drawn from the living word, in bracket, God's voice, to produce living proofs. So when we don't see living proofs in your life, it's a sign to us that you don't have faith. When we look at your life and your life does not have any sign of a proof, even though you've done this for a while, it's possible what you have is not faith, sir. Because we just saw in Hebrews 11 verse 6 that without this, it's impossible, completely impossible. God does not react to your tears, sir. God reacts to his word, not your tears. For many people who are skilled at crying, God is not an emotional God. He's not emotional. God is not emotional. What moves him is his word. I have exalted my word above all my name. His word is what moves him. His word. Faith is putting the word of God, divine instructions in brackets, to work, and by so doing, committing God's integrity to make good his promise. Faith is putting the word of God, divine instructions, to work, and by so doing, committing God's integrity to make good his promise. From all I've said already, you must have noticed that faith starts from hearing the voice of God. Preach to your neighbor, say, neighbor, faith starts from hearing the voice of God. Neighbor, no voice of God, no faith. Look up. Let me help you understand it. If I promised this man last week, I made a promise to someone who sells, I took something last week Sunday after service. One juice. What? Yeah? Yes. I took that, what's it called? And I told her every Sunday, make sure you keep one for me. I have made her a promise. I'm sure she must have looked at me. Can this man afford this thing? Okay, maybe the way I'm seeing, he may be able to afford it. So she will believe that this pastor knows what he's saying. So he can always make sure she keeps one every Sunday because I have made a promise. So after today's service, she walks up to me and says, Pastor, she just gives me. I will just bring out money and do what? Give her. You know why? Why? I have made a promise. Follow me. Many of the things you want as open doors, the first thing you would have done, sir, is that you would have first sought for his voice. I want to show you how Christians live. You cannot be naming and claiming things that God did not utter from his voice. You can't come into the bank and look at the money and say, I claim. You just go to the cashier where I can say, I claim all this money here. You are a thief. I get what I'm saying. So faith starts from discerning the voice of God. So in this lecture today, I want to take you through how to discern the voice of God, so that you don't expect open doors all through the year and looks like nothing is happening. Meanwhile, for some of us, we have taken time to hunt for his voice. Men who are spiritual know that the first thing you do is to hunt for his voice. There is no time. Listen, when you want to live life as a Christian and live victoriously, sir, I told you that I was busy shouting, I cannot be sick, I cannot be sick, I cannot be sick. Meanwhile, I was busy falling sick down. In fact, that one was the worst. They carried me to the hospital. I didn't know. I thought we name it because everybody is saying it, and I claim it as I'm hearing our pastor say, I cannot be sick. I'll be saying that. If I say I cannot be molested, I am not just making noise. I'm talking from a realm. For instance, I know what corporate bullying looks like in my life. I know what it means for your boss to want to victimize you. As a Christian, I suffered it for a while. That you are good does not mean in office they will like you, sir. At times, they will victimize you, make you do as in stress you so much that you can't even present. When it's time to present, you start stuttering. Why? You have been molested. Look up. There came a time in my life I knew that I have crossed the level of who can be molested in the office forever. I'm not just talking, what's it called, theory. No. I knew when I got to that point where that became past tense. Listen, faith is a substance. We just finished from Solemn Assembly, and our Father in the Lord was telling us about something that happened in 1998. A military president threatened. He wanted to move from being a military president into being a civilian president. And all his guys, he was doing conjuring, and they told him that this thing can work. It will not work except he executes one person. That the only problem they have, there's one man that is in camp. There's a place they call camp. If you want to do this thing, you will go to deal with that man in camp. Somehow, a military officer who was a member of Redeem heard it and told our father, said, Daddy, please, oh, they want to buy you. It's not, they want to kill you. He said he was walking all over the camp that day, was afraid. He admitted, said, honestly, I was afraid for my life. He could have been making noise, say, no, I cannot die. I shall not die is in the Bible, sir. But that when situations come practically, sir, it is what is within your spirit that has been locked on that comes up. It's not what you are saying, it's what is hidden. So he said he had to go and look for faith. What did he do? He went to ask God, what are we going to do? I said, faith is derived from the voice of God. He said, God told him, relax, don't be afraid, continue. Tell your people, Happy New Year. That was why he came to camp that Friday, Holy Ghost service, and told everybody, greet your neighbors, Happy New Year. They greeted. I don't know how many months after, the person that wanted to kill him became past tense. Follow me. It's not bold talk. Nothing will happen. Oga, something will happen. We have seen pastors kill, though. It's not nothing will happen. You will see that something will happen. Are you getting what I'm saying? Faith is not a bold talk. It is gotten from God's voice. If you've not heard God over a matter, don't stand. You will lose and nothing will happen. So how do I derive God's voice? That's what I want to go into quickly. Number one, how do I hear the voice of God? Revelation chapter 1 verse 10. Can you give it to me? Revelation 1 verse 10. How do I hear the voice of God? Revelation chapter 1 verse 10. Revelation chapter 1, verse 10. Okay. The Bible says, I was in the spirit on the last day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. I was in the spirit on the last day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. How do I discern God's voice? Number one way is prayer. Number one way is what? Is what? Shout it now. Say it's what? Luke 18 verse 1. I want someone that can read fast for me, please. Pick it up, just read for me, please. Luke 18 verse 1. King James Version. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to what? Faint. You see, if you are a man, one of the ways God expects you to live is by prayer. It is not possible that a prayerless Christian will have faith. It's not possible. Because you cannot discern the voice of God as a carnal man. I was in the spirit on the last day and I heard a voice. So faith is not gotten by casual talks. It is gotten by entering into the spirit. And the way I know, at least as of today, that men stay in the spirit is by praying much. You must be a man of prayer. Jesus said, men ought always. That means every time you see a man, he's always. The way we created him from creation, the way he was formed, is that he was supposed to be a creature of prayer. Look up. Listen, if you are not praying, you are already a prey. I wish the Holy Ghost would open your eyes to see this. If you're not praying and you're expecting open doors, you will enter the wrong doors. Listen, you will marry the wrong person. Listen, you will do the wrong businesses. And listen, the Holy Ghost will be shouting, Emeka, Wale, don't do it. Wale, don't. You will not hear. Why? I was in the spirit on the last day and I heard. So if I am not in the spirit, I am not in the same frequency. Ladies and gentlemen, in heaven as we speak, there is always breaking news. Every day there is breaking news. When you tune into the frequency, you will hear it. Our father Abraham, that is called the father of faith, you must have observed, he was a man of many altars. He was a man of many altars. If you look at Hebrews or Genesis chapter 12, verse 7 and verse 8, you will notice that Abraham was a man who built altars and pitched his tents. Abraham, who you call the father of faith, who gave us an example to live, was a man who built his altar. That means his altars were permanent structures. Everywhere you went that Abraham ever lived, you will notice his altars were built. It was firmly rooted. But his tents, where he lived, where he slept, was pitched. That means they were temporary, temporal structures. But for his altars, they were permanent structures. I'm not teaching you about being a pastor. I'm teaching you how to live your normal Christian life. There is a way to walk, and people will wonder, who is this guy? How do you do it? It's because he has something called altars. Men who walk with God cannot play with their altars. If you are in service and you want open doors and you don't have a prayer life, I'm sorry, you are wasting your time. For many years, I was a Christian. I was making the rounds. I was even an assistant pastor. At least, I've been an assistant pastor for almost 10 years. 10 years at least. Let's say 8 years. I didn't have an altar, sir. So it's possible to come here and be gyrating, be making noise, jumping, shouting, sweating, and you don't have altars. So when there is a scan run on your life, you are empty. If you meet people who are well demonized, they will tell you. If you see a man who has altars, run from him. If you see that one who has no altar, shave his head, nothing will happen. I'm saying that the Bible is real. Real. Everything written here is in the constitution and real. But in your context, it could look like it's not real when there is no prayer on the altar. I'm saying that the Bible is real. And for many years, I taught it. I was in Sunday school teaching it, sir. But I was teaching theory. When you see a man who sings in the choir, who has an altar, when he picks the mic, it's different. Because before he shows up, the voice of God would have told him how the service will be on Sunday. When you teach a who has an altar, it's different, because before she shows up on Sunday, she has interacted with the altar, so she knows what to expect. Men who have altars cannot be manipulated. For Abraham, he knew, if I must get to the promised land. Remember when he was made a promise, there was no address. They told him, come out of your father's house and from your relations, right? To a land where I will show you, sir. They did not put address on that land. They told him, come out. Which means, the only hope he has to get to that land is to keep his altars constant. Let me explain it to you. An altar is a meeting point of divinity and humanity. Is a platform where people meet, where divinity can meet with humanity to give him or her direction for his life. Who has an altar does not miss his ways. You want to hear the voice of God? You must take prayer seriously. You want to hear your voice? You want to hear the voice of God? Prayer must become your second nature. If I look at your life today, I can tell the results of your life by the level of your altar. I can tell. The way you are living in lust, the way you are living in fornication, the way you live in all kinds of sin, lying, all those things, it's because there is no altar. In fact, let me be honest with you. When you have an altar, you will need less of counseling. You see, counseling, you won't need it. Why? Because your altar will regulate you. It will regulate you. It will regulate you. It will tell you where to go and where not to go. Where to sit and when to stand and when to run. You will know. Men of altars are people who cannot be toyed with. So you can't be talking of open doors when you don't hear his voice. You can't be talking of open doors when you don't hear his voice. Can we close our eyes this morning? Can we tell him, Lord, help me to build an altar. I need your voice. I cannot operate without your voice. Help me to build an altar. Help me to build an altar. One of these days, I'm going to come back to teach priesthood here. But I became a serious Christian the moment I understood priesthood. You can be a worker for 74 years. If you don't know priesthood, you become a victim. That is something they call the powers of the air. You become a victim to those powers if you don't have an altar. Jesus, help me. Close your eyes, ask him, Jesus, help me. I want to hear your voice. I want to be sensitive to your voice. Help me. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Can you make sure you are crying to the Lord? Tell him, help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. to build altars that are permanent. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.